Okay, we may have to. I have my assistant here. This is my son-in-law, James, and he's agreed to help me because this guy is not great. But that's part of the point. I had to have a visual aid. Thank you, Pastor Josh. I guess I have him to thank for that. So my name is Kathy, and if you don't know me, I've been around a long time. I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm an aunt, I'm a sister, and probably best of all, I'm a grandma. Just one of the greatest blessings in the world. So when Pastor Lenny asked me to share today, so guys, I have notes because I tend to squirrel, so bear with me. I may do some reading, but when Pastor Lenny asked me to share today, I really struggled with what to say. As I thought about it, I realized that over the past few years, I found myself having the same conversation most with women. I always found myself in different scenarios with different women, but it was all the same conversation. Not just moms, but I had conversations as I thought over the past few years that I had with sisters and daughters, aunts, friends. Today I want to share just the recurring theme of some of those conversations. But first, in case you don't know a lot about me or some of the things that I'm really into, I want to share. I love plants. I love gardening. It is my passion. It fills my bucket. It is something that I really enjoy. This first picture is a picture of me. This is a vulnerable moment. I had been on a scooter all day long with a helmet on. This is a picture of me in a garden in Rarotonga, Cook Islands, about 3 hours off New Zealand. My husband took me after we had a pretty rough year 2 years ago. And he took me here, and I've decided this is as close as I'll ever get to the Garden of Eden. It was so beautiful. But this kind of ties into what I want to talk about today. So I'll try to tie this all together. I want to take just a moment to look at a massive gardening experiment that I think really does represent a huge spiritual lesson. What you're looking at now is called Biosphere 2. This was a biosphere, a complete ecological self-contained system built in Arizona, Oracle, Arizona, in around 1987. It was an experiment that was aimed at simulating a self-sustaining ecosystem, very much like the Earth's, under a dome. And the goal was for 8 people to live within this biosphere dome for 2 years, completely self-sustained. So what happened with this master gardening experiment? How did it work out? The biosphere ecosystem, it grew the flora beautifully. The plants, the trees, the food supplies that would help sustain the people, it grew more rapidly than it ever could outside of the dome. It seemed pretty promising. It was interesting. The challenge began to develop when the trees in the dome grew. They grew very rapidly, but they could not reach full maturity before they would fall over. Scientists began to question why this was happening, so they started studying the roots and the outer layers of the bark of these trees inside this biosphere dome. They began to realize that the challenge was that there was a lack of wind in the dome. Wind causes what scientists call stress wood, and that stress wood has a lot of purposes. It not only creates structure to make that tree remain strong and to be able to withstand the different elements, but it also helps the tree to position itself for maximum full sun absorption, and it just makes it so structurally sound. Scientists discovered that without that stress wood, a tree can go quickly, but it really cannot support itself. I find this experiment really fascinating. It reminds me of a scripture in James 1, 2 through 5, which says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Verse 12 in the same chapter of James says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." So the trees in the biosphere could not grow to full maturity without the strain and the stress of the wind. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? I think that we, as believers, we also tend to grow deeper roots and a stronger walk with Jesus as we experience stress and trials in our lives. And we all have those. I have another example. So this, I don't know if you can see this or not. I might pull this back just, oh, wow, that's heavy. This is a fiddle leaf fig. This fiddle leaf fig actually has been a part of the Pointer household for 5 or 6 years. I don't know how long. And it started out about, oh, probably this tall. And as you can see, it's struggling a little bit. I have provided everything I thought this fiddle leaf fig needed. I have watered it. I feed it regularly. I put it by the sunlight in the summer, and obviously I use UV lights in the winter so that it can be healthy. And I even have a humidified house. I have a humidifier just to keep it nice and humid because I want it to thrive. And in some ways, it has thrived. But I want you to notice something. Do you see all these poles and stakes at the bottom and even my electrical cord for my lights wrapped around the fiddle leaf fig? There's a purpose for that. Because you know what I forgot? In spite of feeding it, watering it, having humidity, giving it light, I forgot that fiddle leaf figs need to be shaken gently or they need some wind occasionally to make them strong. I remember reading about the fiddle leaf fig. I remember knowing that it needed wind and it needed movement to just irritate it, shake it up a little bit to make this, I don't know if that's a trunk, the trunk strong. We're going to go with that. I think that the fiddle leaf fig is a really great example of what happens when you don't have a little bit of the wind blowing through your life. I love this metaphor personally because I am absolutely certain that every person sitting here today, breathing in air, has stress or challenges in your life or winds that blow through. You may be in a really great season of your life right now. It feels like things are going pretty well. Or you may be in a season of your life where you're struggling and you're hurting. And what I can tell you is that we all have different stories, but we've all been there. For some of us, it's been situations at work. Maybe it is now. Maybe at home. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's broken or strained relationships. As we, you know, we live in a broken world. So that's, it's there. As I think over all the conversations with family and friends and women and men, apply this as you can. But over the past few years, I see so many faces and names, but so many different situations, but the same struggle. Some of the conversations were around having a burden for an unsaved loved one. I've been there. I am there. Or a struggling parent. Also there. Child, a family member, or even a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Somehow at the end of each conversation and often prayer, I'd find myself thinking and sometimes saying something like, and this is where this came from. So many times I found myself saying, I'm so thankful that God is not done yet. In other words, God continues to be active and he is working in and through each and every situation. That is where my hope comes from. As a coworker, as a friend, as a family member, as a mom. Perseverance and hope. Those are the things that I think we as women need to be reminded of. I want to share a bit of my testimony and at times and some of the times that God helped me to grow in my faith. My first memories of praying earnestly are from when I was a very small child. And when I say earnestly, I mean earnestly. Every night I go to bed and pray for my grandfather and for his salvation. You see, my grandpa, he was not a Christian, and I was little, but I knew it. I wanted more than anything for him to come to know Jesus. I've also prayed earnestly for people that I cared about as they suffered from physical illness. Sometimes I saw them healed from that illness, and other times I saw them fully healed as they entered into the very presence of Jesus. I have memories and deep emotions of praying not only for my children to know Jesus in a very personal way, but I began to pray for my children's future spouses when they were just tiny babies. I prayed that God would begin to work in the hearts of each little boy that would grow into a man and someday marry my daughters. I have three daughters. It's a lot of prayers. I prayed for godly men that would be a helpmate to my daughters and that they would encourage them in their walk with Jesus. I've been broken at times as I've watched people that I love walk away from God. I've seen the pain that has caused so many others. I haven't always received answers to my prayers over the years in the way that I prayed. I don't know for sure if my grandfather settled his eternity with Christ before he died. I do know that God was at work in his life, and I do know that I have hope. I did not get the more time that I prayed for with my dad, but I did see him completely healed. I haven't yet seen each and every person that I've prayed for their salvation come to Jesus. But you know what? I know God's not done yet. I can say this and lean into this because despite the wind that has blown throughout life, God has used those times to grow me. He has taught me to persevere. He has helped me to persevere. And he has walked with me through it. God can grow our faith through those times of stress and those winds that blow through life, but he also grows us through answered prayers as well. I have three daughters married to three men that love Jesus. They're raising my six, soon to be seven, I'm so excited, grandchildren to know Jesus as well. I praise God for each and every one of those precious children. And when I say precious, I mean precious. There are no words. And if you're a grandparent, you get that. Over 39 years of marriage, there have been so many times that perseverance and prayer held us together during the strong winds of near bankruptcy, miscarriages, health crises, seeing our teenagers struggle and at times not always make the best decisions, very much like I did as a teenager, and the loss of people that we loved that caused very, very deep grief. We've not always received answered prayers in the way that we intended. There were times that we had to start over as a young couple, and we had to adjust what life might look like versus what we had envisioned it would look like. We had to grieve the loss of pregnancies. We had to humble ourselves before God. We had to lay his children at his feet over and over again, sometimes with my face planted in the carpet in my living room. There were times we had to bury those we loved. The truth is, at the end of all of that, based on James 1:12, the man who perseveres under trial, because he has stood the test, will receive a crown that God has promised to those who love him. Personally, I don't want a crown. I really don't need a crown. I just know that sometimes I do need the winds of life, the winds of stress to blow through, because when that happens, I draw closer to Jesus, and I grow best in the midst of the wind. You see, God is not done yet. If you have someone that you're praying for to come to know Jesus, God is not done yet. If you have lost someone close to you, or you are trying to restore a broken relationship, God is not done yet. If you or someone you know is struggling with health issues, whether physical, mental, illness, addiction, whatever, God is not done yet. If you're struggling yourself to really understand who God is, who Jesus is, he's not done revealing himself to you or to those you love. God continues to heal us, and he continues to comfort us and to minister to us. He continues to walk with us through the day-by-day moments of our lives, through the wind and the stress. In that, we can have great hope. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the prize for when God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So God has not called me or any one of you heavenward yet, if you're sitting right here in a pew listening to this. God is, and because of that, God is not done working in your life. God is not done working in my life. And he is not done working in the lives of those we love and care about. He is not done working in our church. He is not done working in our community and our country. He is alive, and he is actively working. So what can we do to be a part of what God is doing? Pray. We hear it. We mean to. Sometimes I fall asleep at night when I'm praying. I'll be honest. It's like, oh, that may not be my prime prayer time. But we need to pray. Pray over anything and everything that concerns you. If you're walking into work and you're concerned about something going on with your day, pray about it. If you're seeing someone walking down the street and you know them and you're just prompted, pray for them. Pray. Prayer doesn't have to be fancy. I think sometimes we get so caught up in sounding smart or eloquent or knowledgeable that we lose the heart of prayer. Just pray. Speak to God. Share your hearts and your thoughts and your concerns. We need to spend time in the Word. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start. When I'm talking to someone that maybe is just coming to know Jesus, sometimes I'll suggest John. It's a great place to start. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Start in John. But I can guarantee you that if you are not sure that's where you want to start, if you haven't been in the Word, and you're wanting to be in the Word, talk to any one of our pastors. They'll guide you. There's some great Bible studies. There's some great Sunday schools. But be in the Word, because it changes us from the inside out. That is how we begin to know the character of God, who he is, and the plan that he has for our life. And the last thing that I would say is serve. There is something incredible about the process of serving others. And when we serve others, we know we're serving Christ. But there's something about serving that brings us together, that encourages us and helps us to persevere. When we're serving others, I think it's really important sometimes, and I forget this because I just jump into things. It's kind of how I am. Sometimes I need to slow down, step back just a little bit, and see where God is at work. Watch and see where God is at work, and join in and serve. So what's on my heart is not a long message, but my message is this, and it's a message that I often need to hear myself. And I'm wondering if it's a message that maybe some of you need to hear in this moment, the season of your life. And that, again, is that God is not done yet. He is not done refining and growing each and every one of us. He is not done working in the lives of those you love. He is not done drawing the lost to him. God is not done yet, which gives each of us hope in a world that wants us to believe that it is hopeless. It is not hopeless. God is active and working in our lives and our world today. God is actively pursuing each and every one of us and calling us to do more for his kingdom, to be more for his kingdom. We need to persevere. We need to persevere through the winds of life and let that wind just strengthen us and let God do what God's going to do. And we need to join him. Because God is not done yet. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. And my prayer is that we would find that and lean into the wind and the stressors and know that he's got more for us at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. I think I've heard it somewhere. If you're not dead, you're not done. God has got something continued on for all of us, and it's a great reminder of God's faithfulness in that. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message that you put on Kathy's heart. A reminder that even in the difficult times, your faithfulness is there. That you shape us and mold us. That you give us strength even in the midst of the wind, as we tap into your strength, into you, and we, as we shared last week, as we abide in you. And so go with us this week. May we remember your calling to love one another, to read your word, to spend time with you, and to serve. And so we give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Go and be the church.